The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Well, people were listening to Jesus speak. He proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, a nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins. He told them, engage in trade with these until I return. His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, we do not want this man to be our king. When he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants call to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones. He replied, well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this small matter. Take charge of 10 cities. And the second came and reported, your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more. To this servant, too, he said, you, take charge of 5 cities. Then the other servant came and said, sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you because you're a demanding man. You take up what you didn't lay down and harvest what you didn't land. He said to him, with your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down and harvesting what I did not plant. Why didn't you put my money in the bank? Then on my return I would have collected with interest. To those standing by he said, take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, sir, he already has 10 gold coins. He replied, I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now as for these enemies of mine who did not want me to be their king, bring them here and slay them before me. After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, on the feast of the presentation of the Blessed Virgin Mary in the temple, we have a chance to focus on the beginning of Mary's life, about which the only details we have come from the pseudo-gospels, unreliable in terms of theological truth, but instructive with regard to some of the traditions of the early church. The pseudo-gospel of St. James tells us that Mary, at the age of 3, was presented in the temple. The priest wanted her to just sit down in the third step leading up, but instead she danced. And Joachim and Anne left her there in the temple to be raised in the presence of God in preparation for whatever her vocation would be. And that's where she learned how to become the temple, the tabernacle of the presence of God. Church has celebrated this feast from the 500s in the East and the 1300s in the West. But since 1953, it's taken on a different dimension when Pope Pius XII said that this day, the feast of Mary's consecration to God in the temple, would be a day in which we pray specifically for all those consecrated like Mary to be contemplatives, to become temples, to be prayers. He's called it Pro Orantibus Day, the day on which we pray for those praying for us. Cloistered and contemplative, religious, monks, nuns, hermits. It's a day in which we remember that first and foremost, We are to be existences made prayer. The most important thing we do is the one thing necessary. To recognize that Jesus wants to feed us with himself and to open ourselves up to receive that nourishment. To render everything else second compared to this pearl of great price with the Lord. Today's readings help us to ponder the importance of prayer. We have two parables that are similar, the parable of the talents and the parable of the gold coins. Parable of the talents is in Matthew, parable of the gold coins in Luke. Whereas the parable of the talents, sometimes we can focus on the enormity of the gifts that God has given us in disparate ways. To one is given five, to another is given two, to another is given one. The parable of the gold coins helps us to ponder that each of us, in one respect, is giving the exact same thing by God. Just like each of the 10 in this parable received a gold coin. So in some sense, we've all been given something equally. And we're called to invest it. And it's got incredible potential within it. Talent, as you know, is 6,000 days' wages. A gold coin here, a mina, literally in the Greek, was 1/60th of a talent. So essentially, 100 days' wages was a mina. Not all that much money. For somebody making $40,000 today, it would be about $13,000. But it's enough to invest. And one person took 13,000. And by the time of the king's return, had made 130,000 with it. And in the parable, great joy. A second had made 65,000 with it. Again, great joy. We don't know what happened with 3 through 9. Just doesn't say. But the 10th, like in the parable of the talents, fearful of the master, just buried the gift and bore nothing. Sometimes when we think of either of these parables, we think about money, or we think about specific gifts that God has given to us, rather than the gifts we have in common. But perhaps the greatest gift we have is the gift to be able to pray to the Lord. This incredible capacity that God gives us to enter into a dialogue, not so much of words or ideas, but a dialogue of persons, which is meant to fill our entire existence, which God comes to abide in us and we abide in him. How do we invest that talent? St. John Paul II, in his pastoral plan for the third Christian millennium, lamented that so many think that they can be content with a shallow prayer that's unable to pervade their entire existence. He says Christians like this are Christians at risk of giving in to insidious all other proposals, like so many go to the New Age, for example, or to other Christian expressions in which there seems to be greater prayer. But God has given us each that incredible gold coin, and he wants us to invest it. But how we invest it is up to us. And we need to be creative, just like an investor. So there are the formal times of prayer. Some of us can go through the routine. Some of us can pour our whole heart into it. How do we pray the Mass? How do we pray the Liturgy of the Hours? How do we pray the Rosary? How do we pray the vocal prayers that are prescribed for us to pray? Do we really invest them, knowing to whom we're speaking, and opening ourselves up to the recognition that this is the most powerful thing done on earth each day? How do we pray our work? Do we really live our day in communion with the Lord? Or do we just live it the way everybody else does? Perhaps every once in a while with a thought of God, but not really uniting it in a total self-giving exchange with God. Father Raniero Cantalamessa, the preacher of the papal household, years ago said with regard to our cooperation with the Holy Spirit, who teaches us how to pray as we ought because we don't know how to pray, but he wants to help us to unite everything to the Father. He says, many Christians juxtapose the Holy Spirit to their prayer, to their work, to their life. In other words, they might start whatever they're doing with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. They might even finish with a prayer to the Holy Spirit. But it's juxtaposed. The Holy Spirit is placed beside that activity. It says what we really need to learn how to do is to subordinate our entire life to the Holy Spirit, so that in the midst of everything, we are doing it cooperatively. This is a secret that Mary wants to teach us. This was the essence of her life. She was one who was constantly receiving God contemplatively in her heart. And everything throughout the day was a tessera of a mosaic that she was building into a masterpiece and treasuring as of the greatest importance. How do we invest that gold coin? Those of us who will receive the most from God are those who will make the greatest effort to invest it. I've always wondered about those numbers 3 through 9 here. I love to think that one of them would have been someone who had tried to invest it and make a profit, but just didn't do all that well, and what the king's response would have been. I think that the king's response would have been, I'm proud of you for having tried. And in fact, you've earned far more than you think you have. You know, what we see for anyone who tries to invest, they make a dividend. Jesus stresses that. So he wants us to invest this incredible gift and to do what we're already doing well and to try to invest the other parts of our day which are not yet converted into prayer. There's a particular type of prayer that those who we pray for today at Pro Orantibus Dei excel in, and what we likewise are called to find as the summit of our prayer. So often we can go through life because we were trained to pray this way as kids, looking at intercession and petition as the main aspect of prayer, and how important it is for us to pray with our body and with our heart for those who are in need, as we always do. But far more important than that, the greatest expression of prayer of all is praise. And that's what we see when heaven is revealed to us in the book of Revelation. So you've got the four evangelists, as St. Irenaeus interprets them, the lion, the calf, the one with the face like a man, and the eagle in flight, to refer specifically to Saints Mark, Luke, Matthew, and John respectively, that these creatures day and night were exclaiming, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And whenever they were giving this honor and glory and thanks, the 24 elders, who are they? Don't know for sure. 12 patriarchs, 12 prophets, 12 apostles, 12 Gentiles, some of the early doctors of the church have put forward. Whoever they are, as soon as the evangelists are giving that glory, honor, and thanks, they fall down before the one sitting on the throne to worship him, exclaiming, worthy are you, Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you have created all things, and by your will they came to be and were created. Praise. It's the highest form of prayer, higher than thanksgiving, as important as that is, as we prepare for Thanksgiving tomorrow. Because in praising God, we just love him because he's lovable before he ever does anything to us. Grace is the way we overflow with appreciation for the incredible God who exists before we ever turn to how good He is. In the responsorial psalm today, we have that exclamation point on the Psalter, Psalm 150, which is all about this praise. Praise the Lord in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His strength. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him for His sovereign majesty. Praise Him, then we go through all the instruments. Let everything that has breath, because we're His greatest instrument, praise the Lord. And we finish with the Hebrew to say just that, Alleluia. May the Lord be praised. The opportunity we have here on earth to invest that gift of praising the Lord is the greatest down payment for us not to be given 5, 10, or 5,000 cities in heaven, but for us to come to the celestial Jerusalem where we pray we will, with Mary, be able to praise God forever with the evangelists, with the elders, with all the angels and saints. The greatest gold coin we have in life is the opportunity to pray the Mass together with Jesus to the Father. As we prepare to do so, let us ask Our Lady to intercede for us so that we might dance within as we become the temple of the Lord and always become a house where God is loved, received, and praised.